out okay, but when we put our trust in Jesus, we don't have to worry. We can know that we put our trust in a great and a safe place. So, good morning. It's good to see you again. We're honored to be with you. Laura and I were just talking a few minutes ago. We're excited to go and have church with you again. This is still just an amazing thing. People from literally all around the world gathered together here for worship. And so, man, it's a lot of fun. Thank you for being so kind to us this week. We've been so busy because you've been so nice. Okay, what about lunch? We already had lunch. Okay, supper. What about breakfast? Okay, breakfast. And so it's like I'm constantly getting to meet with people. And it's just been fun to get to hear your stories and to see what's happening here in this church and in this region. And so we're excited. I have to tell you, it was an interesting week because I got my first job in Hong Kong. It was in marketing and advertising, and it lasted about 30 seconds. So we're trying to figure out, okay, if we come here, what school options would there be for the kids, right? And so we heard about a school that's over in Tung Chung. So we get on the bus, we go over to Tung Chung, we get off the bus, and then we're supposed to catch a taxi, okay? And taxis can always be interesting. So we go around to where the line of taxis, they're all queued up, and so I go to the first one. And I open the door, and I'm telling the guy, hey, we're trying to go to this school. I don't speak English. Okay, no problem. Look at my phone. Here's where we're going, right here. I don't speak English. But here, we're going right here. I don't speak English. Ah, okay. But I still have hope, right? I'm optimistic because I see this whole line of taxis. Okay, this guy doesn't speak English, but somebody will. So, no problem. We go to the second taxi. Open the door. Hi, we're trying to go to so-and-so. No English. You have to go with that taxi.
Oh, the blue taxi.
Didn't you see me? I just came from that taxi. He doesn't want me. Do you want me? No, go to that taxi. It's like, okay, back off. I'm like, wow, this is not going like we thought it would go, right? The great news is, though, there was this guy standing over to the side with one of those signs, you know? And he was pretty young. And so I walked up to him and I said, can you speak Cantonese? Assuming he spoke English, right? He says, yes. Okay, I say, we're trying to go to this place. So then he pulls it out on his phone. We compare notes. He's like, yes. Okay, can you tell that taxi driver that that's where we're trying to go? If you'll do that, I'll trade you. I'll hold your sign. So sure enough, if you had come down to Tung Chung about 10 o'clock on Friday, I had a job. I have my sign, I'm showing it around, about 30 seconds. The guy was very brave. The good news is when we came back from looking at the school, the guy was still there holding his sign. He had not been fired for letting a foreigner play with his sign. So now I don't know what I was advertising. I hope it was okay, but I couldn't read what it said. But you know, we're so excited to get to have this time and to share it. I do, just to be honest, there's the temptation to try to do something cool or funny to try to impress you, but we can't get into that game ever, right? We're here for one reason, and that is to connect with the God of the universe who wants to connect with us today. Isn't that amazing? He wants to connect with us. And so that's really our heart, is to not do anything flashy or crazy or you know, whatever that might be amazing and dazzling. But just, man, let's just pursue God and see what he would have for us. On the website of DBICC, you have this phrase. If you scroll down a little bit, you see this phrase about DBICC, and it says this: we are a community church established on God's word, enabled through prayer, empowered by the Spirit to make disciples of all nations. And I say, bravo. That is a mouthful, a huge task, and thankfully the reason that we're here, right? And so I look at these, man, there's like seven sermons worth. We'll go back to one. So like all these great things that you would focus on, but today I want to zoom in on, wow, you hit it once, it goes twice. Got it. All right. I want to zoom in on this enabled through prayer phrase to understand, hey, this is a huge piece of the church. You see, sometimes whenever we think about prayer, we kind of put it over here on this side category. You know, we're supposed to read the Bible. We're supposed to pray. We're supposed to tell people about this faith, this Jesus that we serve. But we kind of think, the good people do that. The really like A-team Christians do that. And sometimes we neglect it. And I can tell you in my own journey, a lot of times it's easier just to pull out the Bible and to read, which is phenomenal, hearing from God, but then it's so easy to neglect the prayer. And again, so many times in my life, and God has answered prayer. In fact, my wife was a huge answer to prayer. I was in a time of fasting, and then God brought her into my life. And so I should fast all the time, right? Good things come out of this. And so yes, prayer has been significant in my life, but still, sometimes we just feel like it's not a big deal. And here's what I know. On a Sunday morning when I'm going to talk about prayer, the enemy is going to be all in here, trying to make you think about something else and what's happening afterward and this problem at work and your kids said this and all these distractions, because he's afraid of a praying church. He's afraid of a praying church. You know, we have these buses that go up and down the streets in Discovery Bay, and those buses run on fuel, right? They run on fuel. But can you imagine if you got on the bus and the driver said, "We don't have any fuel, everybody get out and push." So then you have the people out pushing, trying to, with human effort, make the bus go. That's not how it's supposed to be. The bus runs on fuel, and the people are carried by that. And the church is the same way. Prayer is the fuel. The power is in the Spirit. The engine is the Holy Spirit, but prayer is the fuel. And if we don't have prayer, we're pushing by human effort, trying to make something happen that is never going to work right. But when we're praying, we get caught up in the power, and God does amazing things. So I hope that we can understand the power, the importance, the need we have to be people of prayer. The church is enabled through prayer. You see, strategies are great. It's great for us to think about, okay, first A, and then B, and then C, and in 2 years, 6 years, 10 years, and it's all going to be great. Okay, I love strategy. In fact, it's a weakness of mine to always want to have a strategy for things. But in the spiritual realm, we don't know all that's happening. But we have a tool to get into the spiritual realm. The physical strategies will never come close to the spiritual prayers that we offer. You see, the spiritual realm is more important and more real than the physical realm. Let me say that again. The spiritual realm is more important than the physical realm. And that's so hard for us because we can't see it or smell it or touch it or hear it, right? We can't sense the spiritual realm like we can the physical realm. And so we have to move past the physical. And whenever we do, miracles can happen. God can do things that we would never dream of because the spiritual realm is more important than the physical. You see, whenever God does something, whenever he moves in the spiritual realm, the impossible happens in the physical realm. People who are dead come back to life. People who are lame can walk. People with leprosy are healed. People who are lost are saved. The impossible can happen in the spiritual realm. And this is our connection. This is how we get into that realm, through prayer. I'm trying to have a prayer pep rally here, okay? Are you listening? Are you with me? Prayer is huge. And I encourage you, take the next step in your prayer life. Take the next step, whatever that may be. Go a little bit deeper. Move forward in that. And so, as we were talking about prayer, we need to pray. And just ask that God would guide this time. And so, would you bow your heads again? Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you that you have given us the ability to connect directly to you. We can talk to you. We can engage in the spiritual realm through this gift of prayer. And so, Father, as the enemy is afraid of the saints praying, we ask that you would surround us this morning and protect us from distractions and things that would draw our hearts away from what you want to say. Lord, nobody needs to hear anything from me, but all of us desperately need a touch, a word, your presence this morning. And so please be our teacher. Holy Spirit, have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, some background very quickly. Let's see if we can get to it. This is the prayer we're going to pray, we're going to be looking at, and we're only going to look at the very beginning of the actual prayer. But as we're talking about the Lord's Prayer, it's fitting for us to say it together. So can we all just read this together out loud? Here we go. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Okay, so where is this happening? Well, it's actually coming out of Matthew chapter 6. And so if you have a Bible, you want to turn there. Matthew chapter 6 is in the middle of Jesus' teaching called the Sermon on the Mount. And so for Matthew 5, 6, and 7, Jesus gives this incredible body of teaching. And part of it is the Lord's Prayer. And he tells his disciples, the people listening, when you pray, pray this way. When you pray. He doesn't say if you pray. He says when you pray. He's assuming we will be people of prayer. And so he gives this incredible outline, really, example of how we should pray. And so what we're going to do today is look at the first two words of this prayer, Our Father. Does anybody get a little just tingly feeling when you hear just those first two words? Not yet? Maybe we will later. And that's my heart, is to, hey, let's dive into this. In my own prayer life, you know, for a long time, I did the prayer journaling. You know, where you write out. I use the ACTS model, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. And I would do a little bit of adoration and confession. It was great. But after 10, 15 years, I began to look back at some of my old notes, and I realized I'm saying the same stuff. It's time for a change. I got to do something different. And so I began a journey of really beginning to research, okay, how do we pray? What are some techniques? You know, we just don't talk very much about how to pray, some practical things. And so I began to ask some people that I knew were good prayer warriors. Hey, how do you pray? So they gave some tips. And then I shifted my prayer time to begin using the Lord's Prayer as a template. And I can tell you, as I began to do this, I just began to see more and more of what Jesus put into this prayer. And so this morning, as we look at these two words, Our Father, it's an overflow of what God's been teaching me about his prayer and how we can approach him. And so the first of these two words is the word, Our. Does anybody get a tingly feeling when you see it? Now, this word is tricky because it depends on what part of the planet you're from, how you pronounce this, right? Americans love their R's, and so we say our, right? In fact, some say our Father, right? If you're from other places, you might say, I can our. Is that right? Is that close? Our. So our, right? And so we start with this word our, and we have ideas of what this word means. The first thing about this word is it's a pronoun, okay? So what's a pronoun? Well, I would say she, the word she, but what's it referring to? Well, it refers to Laura, my wife. And so you have a word representing something else, and that's what our is. It's a pronoun. It represents something else. Okay, tell me some more. You're hungry for this, right? So the first thing about our I want to cover is that it is first person. It's first person. Okay? Our Father. And so it's not talking about those people over there who are praying to God, having a conversation with God. It's our Father. In other words, I'm in. I'm a part of this conversation. And you know what? I just want to stop really quickly and acknowledge that there may be one or two or ten people in the room who would say, honestly, I'm not. I'm not in the conversation. I'm not part of that group. And I just want to let you know you can be. You can be. And later in the service, I'm going to talk more about how you can be. But this word our means it's first person, and it means I'm in. I'm part of it. So it's first person. The second thing about it is it's a genitive word. Now you're really excited, right? Genitive. Oh, yes. Thank you for telling us this. You're crazy. What does this mean? Well, think Genesis, okay? Think Genesis. And so when we hear the word our, a lot of times we go straight to possessive, right? We might say that this is our home. It belongs to us, okay? And that's the possessive sense of the word our. But that's not what's happening here, okay? In fact, if you look at the original, it's the Father of us. It's more like this right here, where you would say our family tree. Where the hour is not something that you own. I don't own my family tree. In fact, my family tree owns me. It's the source of me. Okay, so it talks about a relationship or a genesis, the father of us, our father. And so we are coming from the one to whom we're speaking in this. And so the third thing about this hour is that it is plural. Now it's getting really exciting. We're going to spend some time on plural and what it means for this word to be plural. And so the fact is that when we say our Father, it means that he's the father of many. There's a lot of people that he would be called the father of. So I believe this is Siena 1. Anybody can say yay or nay?
Yeah.
Siena 1 building. Okay, so if your residence is in Siena 1, by the way, anybody here live in Siena 1? Okay, we have maybe somebody. Okay, so but let's just pretend that we all live there, okay? So I'm going to ask you a question. If you live in Siena 1, would you be able to say, this is our home?
Yes.
Siena 1 is our home. You would say that. But what's in the back of your mind? Not just me, right? There's another person or two or 20 or 200 living in my home with me. We share it, right? It's not just mine. There's this bigger story. There's a bigger group, a bigger family that would also be able to say, this is our home. And so the same is true whenever we address our Father and say, our Father. It's not just me. There's a lot bigger group involved. And who all is involved whenever we say our Father, whenever we're talking to God? Who else is in the crowd? So here's the cool thing. Here's what's exciting to me. Whenever I get on my knees and I begin to pray, our Father, I'm not alone in this. There are other people. Specifically, I'm excited to know Pastor James is on the same team. Right? And that's cool because I've heard the man pray. And when he prays, man, he's going straight and talking to God. And I just want to get a quick time out. And this is not about our Father. This is about Pastor James and Bonnie. Okay? I don't know if I'll see you again after today. Who knows? Who knows what will happen? But it's an honor. It is an honor. And I want to say a good leader is careful about setting up leadership for the group that he is over. He could have said, guys, I'm leaving in a month, goodbye. But not a good leader. Not a good leader. He told you a long time ago to give you plenty of time to be thinking about what's next. But not just that. It's a privilege to know a human living who is going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I've only cut a little bit, but almost 35 years he's invested in this region. And hundreds, literally hundreds of thousands of people have had their lives changed by the work of Pastor James and Bonnie. And so, man, God, thank you. Thank you. So whenever I'm praying to know that, hey, I'm on the team with Pastor James, like, ah, now we got a good team, right? But not just Pastor James when I'm praying, the elders, Martin and Tom and Russell, all those guys. Hey, now I'm feeling pretty strong. And not just those guys. Elizabeth and Evelyn. Well, if it wasn't good before, now it's a good team, right? Yeah. But here's the reality. Anybody who would say, I'm a follower of Jesus, we're together on this. So who is this including? Not just people alive, but people who've gone before. Not just people in this room, but people who are around. You know, Andrew Gardner, pastor of the Vine. All the people that follow Jesus in the Vine, we're on the same team with them. Whenever we pray, we're part of that team with them. Watermark, Island ECC, all these different people. Billy Graham, Charles Spurgeon, St. Augustine, the Apostle Paul, Simon Peter, you get the idea. All through history, this is the group that whenever we come before God and we say, our Father, this is who's on the team. And all of a sudden, I don't feel small, and I don't feel weak, and I don't feel insignificant because I know I'm part of something much bigger. I'm part of something huge. Community. We are made for community. Jesus built it in to the very beginning of this prayer. He could have said, my Father, but he didn't. He said, our Father. We're made for community. There's a movie that came out a while back, and a guy has a plane crash, which is good for us to talk about today, isn't it, Laura? They have a plane crash. He's stranded on an island by himself, and he so wants community. He so wants a relationship that he becomes friends with a volleyball, Wilson. And he loves Wilson. He doesn't go anywhere without Wilson. We're made for community. And the same is true in the church. We're made to be together. We're made to help each other, to walk with each other. And it's crucial. And I'll say this, it's fun to watch the community that's already in place here. And part of it is it's DB, and you don't have family anywhere close. And so we gotta work together. We gotta be friends, we gotta be family, because this is what we have. But I just wanna challenge and encourage you, go to the next level. Go to the next level in community. It's one thing to talk about, hey, how are your kids, what's school like, how's the things at work? But let's go to the next level and say, hey, here's what I believe God is calling me to. Will you walk with me and encourage me? Go to the next level, go deeper. We need community, we are made for it. Here's what happens. The enemy will come at us and he'll whisper these lies. You see, we have friends, right? And we have these people that we're around. And we, in their eyes, we're doing pretty well. But then something will happen. We'll make a mistake, or something will come into our lives, and we'll begin to hear this whisper in our ear from the enemy, you're the only one who's dealing with this. There's no one else who's going through what you're going through. And he's really whispering this, you're alone. Don't tell anybody. Don't share with someone else, because they'll think bad things about you. And what's the truth? The truth is, we're all really messed up people. We're all really messed up, desperately in need of the forgiveness and the blood of Jesus. And so whenever we can be honest with each other and say, no, we're together. I need your help to walk through whatever this journey is. I need your help. There's power, and the enemy has to run away. Community has basically two parts to the word. Com, and so you have the idea of common. We are sharing together. We share life in common. And then the last half is unity. Unity, togetherness. You know, for me, even as I've, in the last few days, been praying this in a different way, and I come before God and say, Our Father, there's this thought of, when I say our, I know that there's a rift in the matrix, so to speak, right? There's a rip, there's something that's not quite right with me and someone else. And so the Lord brings that to mind. Whenever I say our Father, he's like, oh, our? Hang on. Everybody's not okay. Our? And so I begin to think about, hey, I need to make something right. In fact, in Matthew chapter 5, 23 and 24, just a few verses before he gives us the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says, hey, look, I care about unity. He says, if you bring your gift to the altar and there, remember, your brother has something against you. Finish it up, push through, just power on through, and then go deal with that later. No. He says, leave your gift. First, go be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. So unity is huge. And so maybe there's somebody that needs to be forgiven. Or maybe you need to go and seek forgiveness from someone, because this community needs unity. We need to be together. So this is the word our. Isn't that a cool word? Our Father, we're together in this. And so a couple of things, just to go quickly back. First person means I'm in. Genitive, he's our source. We come from him, plural. We're part of something bigger. It's not just me. But then the second word here is the word Father. And so as Jesus was saying, here's how you should pray, he did not start off by saying, our Creator, which would have been true. He didn't start by saying, our God, that would have been fine. Our Provider, our Shelter, our Deliverer, our King. And these are all true things about God. What did he choose? He chose the word, Dad, our Father. And you know, if there were some other Pharisees or teachers in the crowd listening, they would have thought, how dare you refer to Yahweh as Dad? I can't believe he just said that. Not just for him. He's claiming to be God, so that's one thing. But for him to say that we, the common people, can address him, Yahweh, the God of the universe, as Dad, so irreverent. But Jesus says, no, our Father. He says, call me Father. Now, how is this possible, by the way? How is it possible for us to call a spiritual being Dad or Father? Let me tell you how it's possible. This is going to be tricky. It's true. It's possible because it's true. The enemy doesn't want you to know this, but it's true. In two ways. The first way is he is literally the one who has made everything. So he's the dad. He's the one who made it. So we can call him dad that way. But on the other sense, if you are a Christian, if you are a Christ follower, something has happened to you in the spiritual realm. And he is, in fact, your spiritual father. That thing that happened is adoption. You have been adopted into his family if you've trusted Jesus. And that relationship of him as your spiritual father is more real than your earthly parents' relationship to you. That's why you can call him father. It's true. You've been adopted in. And the idea of adoption is like, okay, I don't know if I like that. You see, I think it's just as, or maybe more special for someone to have been adopted into a family than to have been born biologically. You see, whenever a person, let's start with this. It speaks to our identity. Whenever we talk about that we are able to call him father, that we've been adopted in, it speaks to our identity, what we believe about ourselves, which is massive, by the way. If we believe this thing over here, then we're going to live that way. If we believe this, then we'll follow that path. But if we know I am a child adopted by God the Father, then that should guide our steps. It's huge for us to have the right identity. And so whenever he says, call me Father, it speaks to who we are. You see, being adopted is different from being born naturally, okay? You see, it's actually possible to accidentally have a child biologically, right? Anybody know this? Anybody say amen? And it's not tricky, right? You know, the moment was right, everything was good. Oh, hey, 9 months later, here's a baby, right? And you weren't planning on it. It's a oops, but it's a great oops, praise God, right? But there's no way someone's going to accidentally spend the weeks and months and years and the crazy amount of money and energy to adopt someone into their family. That's not an accident. It cannot be accidental. It's only an act of love to adopt someone in. And so adoption is just as special, if not more special, than being biologically a child of someone else. You say, okay, adoption, but I'm still not sure that we're adopted into the family of God. Okay, I'm glad you said that. Let's just go to the Bible for a minute, okay? Let's read a few verses. Romans 8, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of what?
Adoption.
Adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. In love, he predestined us for what?
Adoption.
Adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. One more, 1 John chapter 3, first part of verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has given us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. You see, it's not just this term of endearment, Father, but it's a true term that we're able to call him our Father. You see, whenever we were hopeless, when we had nothing, when we couldn't do it on our own, he pursued us. And he spent the time and he paid the high price, the blood of his son, so that we could be brought in to his family. We are the adopted children of God. If we've trusted Jesus, if we have said yes to his love, his gift for us, then we are, in fact, his children, adopted in. And this is so important for us to know, because again, the enemy will come at you some days and he'll say, you're worthless. Nobody cares about you. Nobody really is interested in your life. And you say, you know what? No. I've been adopted. I've been pursued. I was intentionally brought in to the family of God, and I can call him Father. And so we're able to stand up against these lies because we know who we are. We're his adopted children. And so we go back to the word Father. It speaks to our identity, but it also speaks to his identity. God wants us. Jesus is teaching us. Whenever you talk to the Father, refer to him as Father. Okay? You want us to think of Yahweh as Father. And I want to just take a quick pause and just be honest that for some people in the room, that word Father is painful. Whether it's something they did or neglected to do, your earthly father, there may be pain involved. And so whenever you hear that God wants to be called Father, that's not real easy for you. In fact, it's not a positive term. And let me just admit, earthly fathers make mistakes. Do you know how I know that? I am one. And there have been multiple times where I have had to go to my children. This is embarrassing, right? I go to my children and I say, Brady, Ellie, Will, whichever one or all three of them, Daddy messed up. I should not have done this. I'm sorry. Earthly fathers make mistakes, but the Heavenly Father doesn't. And so what I would just ask is that you, as difficult as it is, that you not transfer the wounds from your earthly father to your heavenly father. Because he's a good father. Just like we sang earlier, good, good father is who he is. And we know that we are loved by him. See, good fathers, they do a lot of different things. You know, a good father will provide for his family. And he'll protect his family. He'll be present with his family. He'll teach his family. But the main job, the number one role for a father is what? We'll see if we can get back to it. Good fathers love their children. Good fathers love their children. It's about love. Good fathers love. And so we think about our Heavenly Father and that his thoughts toward us are love. He's not against us. You see, I just wonder if I ask the question right now, if you were to say, okay, what is God's feeling toward me at this moment? Think about that. What do you think God feels about you in this moment? What would come to mind? Maybe you would say, well, I didn't do this, and maybe I haven't been, or I did this, right? Or you begin to think about your performance, right? And here's what I want you to know this morning. You know what God feels about you right now? He loves you. He is for you. He wants good things for you. God loves you. That's his feeling about you this morning. You know, as earthly fathers, you know, we have fathers above us, and we've had our own children. Sometimes we get caught up in the performance game. You know, you disobeyed, and so I'm going to give you some hard treatment. You know, it's like, but God doesn't do that. He loves us. Are there consequences for our sin? Absolutely. Will he love us enough to give us those? Absolutely. But his thought toward us is love. He loves us. For a long time, I've heard and I've seen in Scripture this, how do we relate to God? What are we supposed to be doing? And if we get caught up in this idea of, okay, what are the steps? How am I supposed to walk through this life? And I think about Jesus hearing the guy ask the question, Jesus, what's the most important command? You remember his answer? He actually gave him two. So the greatest command is this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, right? Matthew 22. And the second one is like this, love your neighbor as yourself. And I like that because Jesus just took 10 commandments and made it two. And I can do that a lot easier, right? Two is far easier than 10, it seems. But then you look at the commands themselves, you're like, oh. And so for me, for a long time, I've been caught up in, okay, I need to love God and I need to love people. In fact, you hear some people actually turn it around and they'll say, love yourself first, because you have to love your neighbor as you love yourself. So start with yourself. When you love yourself well, then you'll be able to love your neighbor as you should. And then when you love your neighbor, that neighbor, that will show God that you love him. And I say, hogwash. You know that word?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe not. That's crazy. That's backwards. We start with loving God, and when we have that relationship, when we have power, then we're able to love people, because people are hard to love, except for ourselves. We tend to do that really well. This week we've gained weight. We've been loving ourselves with so much good food you've given us. So, love God, love people. And for 20 years, I've been talking about this, right? But there's this thing in the back of my mind. Okay, how do we love God? And Scripture says, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. So, okay, I'm going to do what God has told me to do. And we know that we can worship him. And so I want to worship him. I want to talk to him in prayer. But there's still just this thought of, okay, is that really how it starts? And then just honestly, a few months ago, I came across this great verse. 1 John 4, the first part of verse 10, it says, and this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us. This is where it starts, right? Another verse, we love him because he first loved us. This is where it starts, and we have to get this. God loves us. God loves me. And we have to receive that. And it's not always easy to do. But to receive from the Father affection and love. And know that just like this picture of a dad holding the child and just having a great time with them. That's God's heart toward you. He loves you. This is who he is. It's who he is. He loves his children. So it speaks to who he is. That he loves us. He's a father who loves perfectly. He never makes any mistakes. One more thing about the Father. He's a person. He's a person. And when we pray, I think sometimes we get into this idea that we're just kind of launching these phrases out into the abyss, right? Or maybe we're offering them like doves up to heaven, you know, hoping that it goes wherever it's supposed to go. But the reality is there is a person who hears us when we're talking. And we can talk directly to him and he can speak to us. He's a person. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three persons in one. And so we can talk to the Father. Just like we would talk to another person on earth. We can talk to our Heavenly Father. He's a person. And so you can talk to him in that way. So what do we know about the Father as we look at the second word in the phrase, our Father? We know it speaks to our identity. We're adopted in so that we can call him Father. And then secondly, his identity. He loves us. He loves us. And he's listening to us. He's a person that we can talk to. Our Father. Our Father. And so as we come to a close this morning, that there are two things, two calls that I would extend to those of you who are listening. That number one, you would join the family. Earlier I mentioned, maybe you're outside. You can't say our Father. It's their Father, those people. And you're not in yet. I would say, hey, today is a great day to decide I'm in. And I want to be a part of that family. You can. You see, because the Father sent Jesus the Son. And he died on the cross to take our punishment, to take our sin on him. And so if we will turn from our sin and put our trust in Jesus and say, I can't do it on my own, but I believe you've done enough, and so I receive the forgiveness and the eternal life that you give. You can join the family. Be a follower of Jesus. Become a Christian. And some of you, that's the step. That's the call to you today, to join the family. Come on in. The water's great. Join the family. That's the first call. The second call is to the rest of us in our prayer lives, that we would take the next step, and we would, when we talk to this amazing God, see him as our Father. Can we pray together? Father, I thank you, our Father, that we are not alone. There's a huge crowd of witnesses that we are part of, that we get to join whenever we come before you. And that you love us. You have brought us in by the blood of Jesus. And so whenever we talk to you, we're in a great place. A place of power. A place of love. Well, I pray for the prayer lives, as crazy as that sounds, I pray for the prayer lives of the people who are here, that they will engage you in a whole new way, go deeper with you, enjoy you, and walk in the power that is ours as your children. Lord, for those who have not yet taken the step to say, I want to be a part of the family, I want to receive the forgiveness that Jesus died to give me, I pray that today they'll make that decision. Their lives will be transformed. Lord, for all of us, as we go from this place, you've got us in so many different arenas. And you've put us there on purpose. And so I pray that we can live out our purpose, live out the reason you have created us in those places. We can be the light, the salt, as we've already prayed earlier, that we can make a difference, just like you've made a difference in us. We pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand together and we're going to sing.